Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said it's tough when you make an embarrassing mistake. It's even tougher when you discover that you're so unimportant that no one has noticed it. We're happy to have this privilege of coming your way again with Bible Meditations. We're glad that you listen, and we hope that you'll encourage others to do so as well. We were looking at a passage in the 20th chapter of the book of John. And that passage is a passage which deals with what had happened immediately after the resurrection of Jesus on the resurrection day, as recorded in the first three verses of this chapter. Mary Magdalene came early in the morning, and she was coming that she might anoint the body. But you remember on this particular occasion, as she came, she found the tomb empty. The stone was taken away, and the tomb was empty. And so she reports to Peter and to John, "They have taken away the Lord, and we know not where they have laid him." Well, the disciples did not fully understand the resurrection of Christ. But the Lord had predicted that he would be raised from the grave. But their fear was, his body has been taken away, and they were concerned about that. But you know, there is a way in which people have removed Jesus from his rightful place in a number of our various activities of the world today. Let me show you what I'm talking about. The Lord has all authority in heaven and on earth. The Bible affirms that in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. Since all authority belongs to him, no one else has a right to share that authority. But I fear some have taken the Lord out of the picture. They've removed him, and they have used religious authority that is not granted unto them. You remember the Bible teaches in Matthew chapter 17 that Christ has authority above all. And the particular thought that we're looking at is at the transfiguration of Christ. Jesus went into the mountain and he took Peter, James, and John with him. There appeared before them Moses and Elias. And Peter, overwhelmed by the situation, made this observation, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. If thou will, let us build three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias." Peter's solution to this particular situation was, let's recognize Moses and Elias and Jesus. And so let's build three tabernacles, one for each of them. Well, Moses, of course, would represent the Old Testament law. Moses was the lawgiver. He was the one that God chose to deliver the law. John 1 and verse 21, the Bible says that the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And so since the law came by Moses, he would represent the law. But then there is Elias, or Elijah. Now, what does Elijah represent? There was a period of time that God spoke to the people through his prophets. Prophets were great men of God who stood up against all kinds of odds to get God's message to those who needed to hear it. And so here is another period of God speaking to men, but he was using the prophets to do it. Elijah would represent the prophets then. Well, was Moses God's spokesman? Yes. Did God speak through Elijah? Yes. Well, then why not recognize them as well as recognizing Jesus in the present day? Well, a voice from heaven gave us the answer. God said from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." Colossians 1:18 told us that God gave to his Son preeminence. And that's the very thing he was insisting upon on this particular occasion. This is my son. Give him preeminence. Hear ye him. Not the idea of recognizing Moses and the prophets, but rather the idea of recognizing now Jesus as the one who has all authority, both in heaven and on earth. In the third chapter of the book of Acts, the Apostle Peter was preaching to an assembly of people, and he reminded them of a statement made by Moses a long time ago. Moses said, "A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up from among the people like unto me. Unto him shall you hearken in all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And it shall come to pass that every soul that will not hearken to that prophet shall be cut off from among the people." Can you see in this passage Moses recognizing that God was going to speak through his son, and that he was the one who must be listened to? And in view of that, Peter makes the application of what Moses said to Jesus the Christ. Therefore, what is said in religion today must be from the authority that belongs to Jesus Christ. The Hebrew letter, chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, tells us that God speaks to us by his Son, and we must be obedient to him. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. And so obedience to him is required, and if we're going to please our God, we must obey Jesus because he's the author of eternal salvation. But when you look at the religious world today, it's not hard to see they've taken away my Lord. He's no longer recognized as the one who is head over the church or the one who tells you and I what we must do in religion. But people have offered many substitutes. Instead of recognizing his authority, sometimes people tell us, well, we have a creed book that governs what we do in the church that I'm a member of. That creed book, of course, was written by men. They tell us that the creed books represent what part of the Bible they believe in, and so they have written down in the creed book the part of the Bible they believe in. Well, does that indicate that they don't believe the rest of the Bible? Does it indicate that there's part of the Bible which is not believable and should not be listened to? Well, there's no authority for a human creed. The only reason that people have written creed books is to teach something that is not in the Bible, that is not authorized by Christ, or to remove something that was authorized by Christ, with which they do not give favor. I'm simply meaning that to look to a creed is to look away from the proper authority. Jesus said in Matthew 15, 8 and 9, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouths, honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching four doctrines, the commandments of men." Can you see in that passage that when people use the doctrines and commandments of men, that they are worshiping the Lord in vain? That's what the passage said. And so what I do in religion must not be something that is sanctioned by a creed book, but rather something that has the sanction of God. If I believe all of the Bible, then I'll allow the Lord to be the authority in religious matters. When someone takes away the Lord and does not recognize his authority but looks in other directions, they have certainly done violence unto what God had in mind for us to understand. We appreciate being with you today. We'd like to remind you that it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you to our announcer.